right, welcome to our little podcast we're doing for Political Science 350. I'm going to start off by introducing myself. My name is Justin Humphrey. I'm the guy in the back right, the tall white guy. I got
Austin Ordonez.
And Alan Gastelum.
And then I also have a guest here with me, a good friend of mine, Carlos.
What's up, guys?
All right. So basically what we're going to do is we're going to kind of go over the NSA a little bit to give some context, and then we're going to dive straight into talking about how our philosophers would have responded to it. And then we'll go from there, yeah?
All right. So the NSA, which stands for the National Security Agency, started all the way back in 1952 by Harry S. Truman at the beginning of the Cold War. Their purpose was pretty much to monitor, collect, process information at home and abroad, to discover and decode anything, any information, communication of any hostile threats. They work alongside the military branches and other intelligence communities. Ever since September 11, 2001, the 9/11 attacks, with having terrorists affiliated with Al-Qaeda hijacked four planes with multiple targets, resulted in the loss of lives of over 3,000 people. Ever since then, the government has intensified its efforts through the Patriot Act, which has only expanded its surveillance powers over all of its citizens and citizens abroad by collecting any private information, and through working with companies like Verizon, AT&T, Sprint, Google, Facebook, Yahoo, to collect searches on emails, phone calls, and other private data of all citizens.
So they're snooping all everything. They're grabbing all the information from anyone at any time, and they're just storing a bunch of it.
Yes, they are.
You guys are basically walking in your house. Damn.
Pretty much.
They're walking in your house. They're eating your food.
So pretty much, when nothing goes really well on the internet, because the NSA has a second copy of it right there in their storage facilities. And so, what would our philosophers throughout time think of the NSA? Are the NSA's actions just?
All right, I guess I'll start. I personally dove into Bentham and Mill, which are part of the utilitarianism party, kind of understanding that individual rights must be sacrificed for the greater good of the greater amount of people. So whatever promotes the most pleasure and prevents the most pain, Bentham is all good for. Mill, on the other hand, was a fan, but more specifically kind of wanted to protect more of the individual rights aspect. But overall, their main focus was, what is the value of the pleasure and pain being handled, its intensity, its duration, its certainty. And it was less of where is the line and more of how do we keep the most people okay, how do we keep the most amount of people in a good position, even if it meant sacrificing the individual rights of a minority, so the smaller amount of people? It's a statistics game with Bentham and Mill.
Well, philosophers like John Locke and Robert Nozick both had a rather limited view on government, a very strict view, and so they're more aligned with libertarianism. They believe that only the government is there only to exist for three specific activities: freedom of choice, protect private property, and keeping the peace, and only at a very strict and limited level. And so
they're against it all.
Yeah, they would be against the actions of the NSA because everybody has three natural rights, three inalienable rights, and that is to life, liberty, and property. And government exists only to preserve those rights. If any of those rights are abused or undermined, then they have broken the contract they have made with the people. And so the relationship between the people and the government is now abused. The people have a right to undo that.
Okay. And Alan?
To kind of take a step back, or kind of going hand in hand with my good friend here. My thinkers are John Rawls and Immanuel Kant. And basically, they're all about the strict system of justice, you know. And one of the things that justice has is protecting the freedom of people, and you have to protect that at all costs. And basically what they talk about is talking about just, and we can't ignore safety. Obviously, you know, when it happened, it was a big attack and we needed it, but is it just right now?
You're talking about 9/11, right?
Yeah, correct. I'm talking about 9/11. Sorry about that. But, you know, at that time, I feel we did need the protection, and we needed NSA to kind of swoop in and look around because, you know, it was just such a recent attack.
There could be more, yeah.
There could be more. You never know. But
you never know.
Now, like, the statistics are so low, you don't really hear that anymore. I mean, if anything, the NSA is catching, like, our very own people just doing what they regularly do. I don't want to get into that, but basically what John Rawls is saying is this just? And as of right now, I don't think he would agree that what the NSA is doing is just.
Okay, so who are the two guys you were looking into?
John Rawls and Immanuel Kant.
And they're saying it's unjust.
Yeah, it's unjust.
It's unjust.
There's really no reason for it.
And then you had Locke and Nozick, right? And you're saying it's unjust too.
I believe so, yes.
I think I'm the only one here with Bentham and Mill who would maybe sacrifice the right of privacy, especially with like text messages and emails. Maybe they wouldn't think it's as important as the safety of our country is at all times, not just in that moment, but for every day. And I think we kind of got that going. So we have Carlos with us, and I was going to ask you, Carlos, personally, what do you think about the NSA? Is it just or unjust? And if you kind of heard into like these philosophers we're discussing, who do you feel like you'd side with the most?
Yeah, well, I feel that the NSA it's more unjust because. I'm for the protection of rights and everything else, but you got to draw the fine line. Is where do you stop?
Yeah.
Where do you protect rights and where do you go from there? Or the thing is do you risk one to save millions?
Yeah.
So.
And you would say you can't save.
I would say you can. It's unjust to put it on someone.
Yeah. Well, when you make it a statistic, it seems way easier to say, oh, 100 over 1. But when you look at them all as people,
exactly,
it's not fair.
It's exactly.
Okay. All right. Well,
I actually have another point to make. So this guy, Immanuel Kant, was all about reason and morality. And, you know, looking into his perspective, I think we should question the government and what their intentions really are because... You know, what Immanuel Kant is saying, reason was the key to do with the right, like the right thing and how we should act on it. And then let me give you an example. Okay, so we have two shoekeepers, correct? So one of the shoekeepers gives the correct change because he's afraid he might get caught. And then there's another shoekeeper that gives a correct change because it's the right thing to do. And I mean, the NSA does so much. Like, I think the people themselves should question it. Like, what are they really doing here? Like, what are the real intentions?
What's the intention of?
Yeah, is it morally right? And is it just like Rawls saying?
Okay, I guess I can tell that you guys are kind of on the same page, and it's harder to argue the minority perspective. All I could really say to represent Bentham and Mills as best I could was that. You're saying these individual rights are a priority, yes. They're saying the safety of the person is at the utmost priority all the time because without the safety, if these people are being attacked or threatened, there's no time for individual rights because if you're dead, you can't have rights. So they're making sure that everybody is still safe, that nobody's attacking is consistent. You get where I'm coming from with that?
So do you believe that American people can... expect and deserve to hear what the NSA is doing to protect the lives of the people?
Two things with that. One, which I kind of remember from a few movies, is like if you put the amount of pressure on, like if you're making these threats if you're letting the public know that you're kind of going through for these threats, you're putting a certain amount of pressure and anxiety on the everyday person who they're just trying to go to work. They're just trying to feed their family. Their plates are full. Why throw on a potential threat onto their shoulders when that's the job of the government is to take that burden off of them and handle it themselves?
Yeah, I mean, I completely agree. I mean, why would you want people stressing? But the thing is, like, Kant brings up an interesting point. He calls it categorical imperative. And the more decisions you make can be acceptable for others. And the government made a decision of kind of like snooping in on our lives. So I think we have the right to kind of know what the government is up to as well.
Yeah.
Like, why would we just kind of, like, follow blindly?
Yeah.
I think nobody would actually like that.
No, and it's it's not just.
Yeah, it's not just. It's not morally right.
You got anything else?
Well, there's already a structure in place to all this. That's exactly what John Locke and Nozick would actually promote government for.
We only have for the protection of rights. We already have something in place. Yes. We don't need to do this extreme.
Government cannot just do anything it wants just as long as it's for the greatest good. They think they choose security over privacy, but that is more, that can be used more of an excuse just to become more extensive and more powerful. Government is only there to protect our natural rights, life, liberty, and property. And what good is property if government can basically own it too, when you're supposed to be the one to own
right.
it.
Right. Yeah.
Meaning owning property is meant that you have your own things, you have ownership over it, and you don't have to share it with anybody. That is breached when the government can easily override your privacy rights just so for the name of security.
Your texts, your emails, your internet searches are your business. That's what ownership. You're saying.
They're all done from your labor, they're yours to have.
Okay. Yeah, no, I definitely see where you guys are coming from. Carlos, you said again that you're definitely a fan of Kant and...
Rawls.
Yeah. So, I mean, personally, I would honestly agree more with John Locke, but I have to give justice to the guys I studied. So, you know, don't blame me for representing Bentham as, you know... I'm doing what I gotta do, okay?
I mean, it wouldn't be fun if everybody had this
exact same idea. Yeah. All right, well, I think that's a pretty good little conversation we just had. Carlos, thanks for joining us with this. And thank you guys for putting your input in. And I hope everybody enjoyed it. All right, later.
Thank you.
All right, later.